Chapter 12. Reading from verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now there were in the church, there was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Timon, was called Niger, Lucius, the Cyrenian, Manin, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. So we jump now over to the end of the 14th chapter. Verse 26. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been commanded to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, rehearsed all that God had done with them, how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. We have a number of young people here today, and I don't know how you feel, but when I hear a servant of the Lord like our brother and realize the difficulties of the work, and yet hear of the Lord working with them, precious souls being saved and assemblies gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally don't think there's any higher calling this side of glory than to be chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ to do that work which he has left us to do. And that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It would behove each one of us, especially the young, to realize that if the Lord be not come, that there are many, many places that have not yet heard the lovely message of redeeming grace. Not only overseas, in some of these lands, but in your own land. You meet people, we meet people who never seem to have heard the gospel. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how shall a preacher except to be sent? And I believe that there is, in these verses that we read together, some important, helpful lessons as to the Lord's work and what it really is. At the end of chapter 12, you would find that these men were in the service of the Lord. And I would just like to bring this home to our hearts in a very simple way. When God saves us and He gives us this blessed privilege of being gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not as a sort of a crutch to keep us through the rest of the week. He adds us to a living organism. And He adds us because the Lord has designs upon our lives. I honestly feel that God, in many cases, has had designs upon life. And because of difficulties, you find sometimes, you see brethren that could have been used by the Lord, and you find that their life has amounted to very, very little. I suppose I can talk because I'm over 70 now. And I thank God I look back on a life from the very earliest days until today and thank the Lord for the privilege of doing something in the things of God. There is the getting prepared for God's work. I'm not going to criticize things, but you know, when you look at some of the things that are going on today and some of the, and I'm not speaking about our magazines, I'm talking about missionary magazines, you'd really wonder what on earth has happened to the principles of God's precious word. I spoke to a young man, I happened to be in an area, he had left the assembly. He'd gone somewhere else and he'd left that. Today he's in Africa. Now the day will come when God is going to judge. We'll stand at the beam of Christ. And it'll be according to His precious word. God has given us principles in His word for every department of His work, whether it's in the assembly, the local assembly, with elders, with finances, anything that we have in connection with the work of the Lord, we find that we have got the principles in God's precious word. Is it Graham Scroggie that has first of all, I think he was the one that crowned that, know your Bible. And to know your Bible is something that is most important in getting prepared before God, getting exercise. Now, I'm not talking about foreign missionary work, but I'm talking about assembly work. And the first place I see these dear men that, and we here in chapter 12, we know there's a background to this. Barnabas went and he sought Saul, brought him to Antioch and so forth. But here you find the two of them together. And they've been up at Jerusalem in a service for God. I would first of all ask myself the question, can I work with others? And here you have a key. It's the blessing of fellowship one with another. Now I am quite a number of years in Alaska. And one of the things I have missed more than anything is a fellow laborer to be able to talk things over. But as dear Mr. Alves said to me one time, he says, these are unusual days and there are unusual things that happen. But here we have the Apostle Paul, and I would like to emphasize that. Going out in the Lord's work doesn't mean that you're now going to start the Lord's work. That there's going to be a commendation given and then you go in to the Lord's work. These men were already in the Lord's work. And when we're added to the assembly by the Lord, that's the place where God wants us to serve. You find Elisha. And when he was taken out by the prophet Elijah, he wasn't afraid to do some menial task. It says all he did was pour water on the hands of Elijah. And there are many menial little tasks in an assembly. We gathered around, I'm ignorant of where you get your bread here. But in many places where we have been, you find there's the need for the baking of a little loaf. That is a menial service. But it's a very necessary service. And I'm sure you can think of other menial services that you could be engaged in that help forward the work of the local assembly. I went out to Africa. I was received into an assembly that was about 400. I don't know what would happen if I stayed there. But when I was out there, I got into a little assembly and they met in the scout hall. And you know, the kids seemed to be breaking windows all the time. And quite often, this dear brother would take me and we would go and put in the panes of glass in this little hall. Just a menial thing. And you know, that's the way it starts. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm among you as one that serves. The Lord Jesus Christ took the disciples and he washed the disciples' feet. There's great needs in the local assembly, and there's plenty of opportunity to serve the Lord Christ in menial tasks. I don't know if I'm speaking for my brethren or not, but I was happily engaged in the work of the Lord over in Africa. I never thought there was anything else to do after God saved me. I felt that that was the place where I had my affections. That was the place of my activities. And it has been ever since God saved my precious soul. And so you find that we had the opportunity to do menial tasks. Then there was giving out of gospel leaflets. Now you may say, well, I can't speak. But then you have a little tract. And you can give it to someone. Pray the Lord will give you an opportunity to open up. Give a gospel leaflet. Hand it to them. And then when you get away, they can't argue with it. Many, I'm sure you could think of many little things in the assembly. And that all is in the service of the Lord. The Apostle Paul had a Timothy. They had a John Mark. And no matter what we say about John Mark, at least he started in a very menial task. He was a servant to these servants of God. And I believe here you find as a key. The word of God grew and multiplied. Because there were men who were prepared to preach the word. And God bless, we heard our brother today, the Lord was working with them. Or would we put it this way, the Lord was working through them. And the things began to prosper. Then we find that when we come to chapter 13, very important principles in connection with going out in what we would call perhaps full-time service. I don't believe God calls a man to full-time service who's not in full-time service at home. Because there are many things that we need to learn before we go out into the things of God. We need self-discipline. That is one of the most important things, because you could become a lazy person if you never learn to be disciplined in your own life. And that would come into a number of things. It could come into, I don't know what you earn, but setting aside something for the assembly. Doing certain things. There's a number of things that come to my mind, but I don't want to go into them. I want to get into this particular portion here. But here, we first of all, we find these men are functioning in a local assembly. And I honestly believe this. When God chooses a man, and thank God we have sisters on the mission team, you find there are people that function in a local assembly. And here you find, I think it's 5 of the best in the assembly. That's what God is looking for. But you find that this man, particularly Saul, he's led a marvelous life up to this. Brother was telling us about him last night. He says, God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. And you look at a sort of a checkered career, and I want to ask you, are there things in your life so far that you really can't join together? You can't make sort of you can't see the plan or the purpose. A little thing here, a little thing there, some disappointment here, some disappointment there. Well, let me tell you, in God's school, you can't get a book written by men to tell you about the classes that God will put you into and the lessons that he will learn. And so let God work in your life and learn to take the things that are happening in your life as from the Lord. I never, ever had an idea, a thought in my mind that I would ever be in the Lord's work. I was contented, and I thank God for some who have been at the conference. I was saved many years ago. I was contented to work with my hands and put the rest of my time into the things of the assembly, preaching the gospel, ministering the word, and keeping busy in the local things, the assembly. They learn to minister unto the Lord. Brethren, that is the key